The other day, some of you know, when we come back from, we went almost to Washington, D.C., went to North Carolina to two churches, and then on up to Orange County, which is right below Washington, D.C., and we were gone a whole week. And then Saturday, after being gone a week, we started to leave up there, and we only been 15 minutes airborne. We was only 10,000 feet high when I noticed a problem with my oil pressure on my airplane. And so I called the center, and of course, by the time I got them and everything, I'm already at 12.5, leveled off. And I told the guy, I said, you know, I'm having a little oil pressure indication. I said, it may be just an indication, but I'm going to land somewhere and check it out. You know, that's really not what you want to see when you're 12,500 feet is your pressure on an airplane. And so I just pulled it back to idle, and he told me, he said, turn right to 050, and Shenandoah Valley is 15 miles straight ahead of you. He said they have good maintenance facilities there, so he cleared me to land there. So I did. I flew over there, and we landed there, and we got on the ground, and when we checked the airplane, I had just checked it a few minutes before, and it holds 12 quarts of oil, and the engine was right on 12 quarts. It was completely full. But when we got on the ground there, it only had 2 quarts left in it. We had used 10 quarts in 20 minutes of flying, and it has never done that. And so anyway, by this happening, as we're on final approach, I'm gliding in, you know, I'm not running the engine hardly at all, just letting it idle. And at the Washington Center turned me over to the controller, the local one. He said, are you sure you're going to be okay? I said, yes, sir, I'm going to be fine because I got Jesus riding with me. Well, I heard him laugh, but anyway, we got on the ground and pulled over there. And then, of course, a captain flying a jet, he come in behind us, and he come over and said, you must be a Christian. I said, yes, I am. He said, I knew it from what you said over the radio. I said, are you a Christian? He said, absolutely. He said, where do you live? I said, in Justin, Texas. But I said, you won't know where Justin is. Oh, yeah. He said, I live in Fort Worth. He said, I know exactly where Justin's at. He said, yeah. He said, I've taught over there. He said, you know, I said, how'd you become a Christian? He said, 20 years ago, I married this crazy woman I fell in love with. He said, she was a Christian. She done everything she could to convert me. He said, she finally did. I got saved. Said, the best thing, praise God for a good woman, he says. He said, she led me to Jesus. He said, now I love Jesus with all my heart. So anyway, we had a great time visiting. And then the next morning, or actually 2 days later, Monday morning, when the guy come out to help me pull the airplane in the hangar, we were going to do some checking, see what was wrong with it. And he said, are you having a good day today? I said, praise God, I'm having a great day today. He said, you mean you ain't fussing and cussing because you had to land here and be stuck here for a few days? I said, absolutely not. I serve God, and I don't know what he has for me here, but I know he has a plan. And so, of course, while I was there, I got a boy saved at the restaurant we eat at one night, led him to Jesus right there at the table. Two women that worked in the hotel had back problems. I prayed for both of them. God healed both their backs. So, you know, God has a plan, doesn't he? And so I wasn't fussing or grumbling or complaining or nothing. And then whenever we found out that it was a turbocharger on the airplane, and of course, you know, turbochargers for cars are fairly expensive, but for an airplane, you don't want to have to buy one for an airplane. I called one of the dealers to see if I could just get a new one right quick, and it only cost $6,000 for a new one. So I told him, forget it, I'll get a rebuilt one. So a rebuilt one wound up costing $2,300. Just for a rebuilt one. But I'm praising God. We put it on, took us a few hours to change it, you know, and everything, got it going. And we got to come home. And after we got home, one of the men where we were had called, and he said, I understood y'all had problems. And he said, I want to be a part of taking care of the cost of your airplane. Said, what happened, Cheryl? So the turbo went bad. He said, well, what did a turbo cost? She said, well, I think it was about $2,300. And so, just a couple of days later, we got an email from him. He said, there is a check in the mail to pay for the turbocharger. And so we got it, praise the Lord. And of course, we had other expenses there that day. Besides that, you know, it cost me about $700 labor for the guy to help me take it off and put the new one on. And then it cost us about $600 for a hotel for 3 nights for 2 sets of us. But so that little thing cost me about $4,000, you know. But out of that $4,000, God paid $2,400 of it, and he has already paid for the rest of it. So he always pays his bills, doesn't he? You don't ever have to worry about nothing. If you're serving God, it's no problem for him to cost me, or wasn't it cost me, it cost him about $4,000 to stop in Shenandoah Valley to lead that little young man to Jesus in that little restaurant that first night. That's pretty cheap for his soul. You know that? That's pretty cheap. When that boy gets to heaven one day, and he's going to say, wow, I was there because you stopped and told me about Jesus. I said, yeah, son, that cost me $4,000. He said, man, that was cheap. Don't you agree with that? I mean, if you were dying and going to hell, would you give $4,000 to change places, to go to heaven instead of hell? I guarantee if you had a million, you'd give it, wouldn't you? So see, we don't understand that God is in the business of taking care of souls. It don't matter what it costs. He don't care. You know, he takes care of it. You know, so don't worry about it, son. If it costs $1 million, that's not a deal. If I tell you to stop there and I want to save somebody, and if you have to spend $1 million, then I'll give you $1 million to pay those expenses. Is that God? Yeah. Sure. He's interested in souls. Aren't we glad we serve him? We're very glad we serve him. He is a mighty God. Now then, that scripture that we were talking about there in James 5, 14, 15, and 16, that scripture is a guarantee to heal you. But you got to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Now, is it? Do you see James 5, 14, 15, and 16 as a guarantee from God to heal you? Does he say there, maybe he'll heal you? No, he says he will, doesn't he? But he says also in James 5, he says that if the prayer of faith is, it will save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. Now then, if you don't believe, we go back just a few verses to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and let me show you what happens if you doubt. This is where you want to get rid of the doubt, because the doubt will really ruin you. Now, this is the way God works. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So how much wavering can you have? Do you think God knows your heart? Yes. Sure he does. He knows exactly what's in there. And so if you're wavering on your healing, he says, I was in the process of healing you till you started wavering. Now, see, the enemy will come and slip up on your shoulder about the, well, maybe right after you get prayed for, and he may put a serious pain in your body and say, now, if you really believed you were healed, that pain wouldn't be there. You know, that's not true. You know, God doesn't always, every time, instantly heal you. He doesn't do a miracle for everybody. I've seen God do a handful of miracles. I mean, really, maybe two or three big handfuls of miracles, 30 or 40, 50, or maybe even 100. I've seen him do awesome, awesome miracles, but I've seen him heal thousands of people. Now, some of them didn't get healed instantly. Most of them didn't get healed instantly. But if you learn to fight the fight of faith and stay in there with God, just like 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the fight of faith. I mean, believe. You know, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at the pain. Don't look at the symptoms. Don't look at nothing but the Word, and believe what the Word says, and then it will come to pass. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Is he a faith God? Yes. He's a faith God. If he said it in his word, that ought to be all we need as his children. Is that right?
That's right.
We believe him. I don't care what that's just like the day that I got bit right here on the elbow with a brown recluse spider. You know, I was underneath my tractor working on it, and it was dark underneath there, and that spider come crawling across there and jumped up on my arm and bit me right there. And I thought that thing, I said, that's a cotton picking brown recluse spider. So I just went, you know, just put him into Never Never Land and throwed him away. That's going to be the last bite you ever get off of anybody, but he bit me. I said, now then, Lord, I sure am glad I got Mark 16, verse 18. Now then, Mark 16, 18. Let's turn from where we were here to Mark chapter 16. Let's just start verse 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Was that what he told every one of us to do? Now, do we do a good job on that? Most of us do not. but he told us to. Then he said, he that believeth as and is baptized shall be saved. So if you believed and you were baptized, you were saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So you tell people about Jesus, they don't believe. He said they're damned. And then let's see what he says in verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now there's two kinds of believer. A believing believer and an unbelieving believer. We're both believers. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, which kind are you? Are you going to be the believing believer or the unbelieving believer? Oh, Lord, I want to be a believing believer, right? That's what I want to be. Because he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, you got to believe he's going to do what he said. You got to have faith. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You know, that really gets some people. Especially, I don't want to talk about devils. You know, I don't know nothing about these things. I never heard, they never talk about devils in my church. I don't want to talk about devils. Well, let me tell you, devils are real. The devil's real. There's only one devil, but there's many demons. He's got multitudes of them. But as a son or a daughter of God, you have, as long as you walk in obedience to God's word and you don't walk in sin, you have no reason to be even concerned about the devil. He has to be subject to you. You have been given all power and authority over him. Now, I'll show you that in a minute. But he says there, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. A lot of churches don't believe that you can speak with a new tongue. They shall take up serpents. That's the devil himself. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing. In other words, that's deadly poison. If you drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt you. Well, I believe that I don't have to drink it. I believe it can be put in through some kind of an insect or a snake. It's still deadly. It comes in my body. But the Lord says that deadly poison shall not hurt me. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Now then, if he said that and we're his body, we're his church, can we stand on our King's promises?
Yes.
Absolutely. So after I killed that spider, I said, Lord, I want to thank you that no deadly poison shall hurt me. It's written in Mark 16:18. Is that right?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Is Any Sick Among You? In its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.